Hey, Kahiros, when our children grow up and look back on their most treasured childhood memories, what will they remember? Will they have memories of climbing a tree as high as they've ever been before, or riding a bike down a hill so fast they thought they would never be able to stop? Will they remember having tea parties in a secret hiding spot in the garden, or carting all your kitchen pots and pans outside so they could make mud pies? Now, these are our childhood memories. We grew up playing outside. Adventures were limitless. We weren't constrained by time or other activities, homework, or even our parents half the time. It was free play outdoors, and it was spontaneous, exhilarating, fun, and exactly how we wanted to play. This was nature play, and for most of us, it was the best time we've ever had. Now, two decades or so on, this type of play is sadly no longer the norm. Unintentionally, our children's lives have become characterized by technology, structure, and inactivity. Having the time and opportunity to explore and create fun on their own is no longer a rite of passage for many of our children. Our kids spend less than 2 hours a day outside. One in four have never climbed a tree. One in three have never planted a garden, and the area in which they can explore has shrunk by over 90%. Nature play is vital for children's development and for their health, happiness, and well-being. It can also combat obesity and the symptoms of anxiety and depression. Children learn self-control over their actions and decisions. They also learn how to take risks and to solve problems on their own. Nature play helps our children to learn important life lessons, and they also have the best fun they've ever had. So today on the podcast, I'm joined by a lady who's on a mission to make unstructured outdoor play in nature an everyday part of childhood. Sarah Sutter thinks she has the best job in the world. As CEO of Nature Play South Australia, Sarah works with organisations and families to help children enjoy the experiences she had when she was a child. Sarah is a netball Commonwealth gold medalist and a qualified PE teacher, and would count her role as mum to Tom and Jazz as her most important and rewarding role yet. So today on EcoChat, I'm chatting with Sarah Sutter from Nature Play SA, and we're talking about how and why we need to get our kids outdoors. Welcome to the EcoChat podcast. I'm your host, Laura Trotter, and I'm here to show you how you can create an eco-ceptional life you love without compromising your lifestyle. Tune in for inspiring interviews with real-life eco-heroes, plus my own theories, thoughts, and tips for sustainable living. I'm all about making green mainstream, and I'd love to help you on your eco journey. So let's get started. At EcoChat, I'm really thrilled to have you here today.
Thanks, Laura. I'm very excited to be talking with you.
Cool. Now, before we dive in, I'd love to hear what play looked like for you when you were a child.
Oh, look, my play was very exciting. I was down creeks. I had a creek at the back of my house, so that was amazing. And my mum and dad never knew where I was. So I was, I think I came home at dusk when I was really, really hungry. And my play was, you know, always outside, up trees, down creeks, collecting tadpoles. I remember having 20 frogs watching, or 20 tadpoles and turned into frogs. And one night I forgot to put the lid back on and all the frogs jumped out. So, but no, I spent a lot of time with all the children in my street as well. We'd make out, we'd play games, and we'd go on adventures on our bikes. And you know, I have very fond memories. Yeah, of it was all outside.
Yeah, sounds similar to me. So you were a child of the 80s.
I was a child of the 70s. I was born in 1971. So, I'm a 70 baby.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I was born in the late 70s. So, yeah, child of the 80s, teenager of the 90s. But, yeah, my childhood play was really similar. Were you in suburban Yes. In the city or the country?
I was actually quite lucky. So I was in suburban where there was still a lot of vacant blocks and that before mm-hmm. the big developers had come in. But I also had the opportunity to live a country life as well. My parents had a holiday house on the York Peninsula. So that is, you know, we had a shack right on the beach. So I was brought up with a fishing rod in my hand, I think, at 1 year, and then really have taken a love for the marine life and still now go back to that same shack with my children and do those activities that I did, now teaching my children those activities.
Yeah. Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I had my early childhood in suburban Melbourne, so the first 8 years, and then we moved to the country. But even in Melbourne, I remember we lived in a court, and we were always outside in the court playing, making mud pies and throwing them on people's roofs. And, you know, I think I remember you talked about the frogs. I think I had a Mexican walking fish at one stage, and yeah, all these things. But definitely, even when we were in suburban Melbourne, we were outside all the time. But that was part of my mother too. It's like, I'm bored. Go outside. So.
Yes, yeah, and it's interesting you say that. A lot of I do so much, you know, speaking presentations to so many people, and I'm talking to, you know, our age group and a bit older, and every, you know, presentation I say, you know, put up your hand if your childhood was spent outside and what you did, and exactly the same stories that we've just told, you know, everyone has experienced them. And then I say, now the children in your care, tell me, are they experiencing those sort of outside experiences as children? And, you know, I only have about 10% of the hands go up. So we're definitely in a new childhood play, which all of the stats and everything that I'm reading is not great. It's not the best for our children now.
Yeah. So let's chat about then. So how has play changed for children in recent decades, and what sort of impact is this having?
Yeah, I think all of the research that I'm reading and all of the children that I work with, I think the last 20 years there's been a huge shift from the way that we play to the way the children are playing now. And our children are not playing the way we did. They're not getting outside. They're on the screen. The screen, the technology has become a very big part of their life. And we're seeing that our children are less physically active, and I mean that's part to do with the screen as well, but they're also not having the opportunity to getting outside because parents now are working full time. So you think about it, my grandmother just died last year. She was 102. She never worked. Yeah, my mother worked part time and now I work full time, and all of the latest statistics coming out showing that, you know, dual parents now, and parents are working longer hours. So the children aren't having those opportunities that we had as children. And I think, you know, people ask me, what are the three key indicators why our children aren't getting back? I say the screen, I say time poor parents, but I also say we're a very risk averse society. We're not letting our children have those opportunities of that free unstructured play, and you know, they're not roaming the streets, but they're also not being allowed to climb those trees because we're saying stop it, it's dangerous. And I guess, you know, part of, you know, what we do is, you know, risk averse. How do we change that? Well, you look at the playground, and our playground has become a very I call it a fantastic plastic playground, and there's no risk opportunities for the children. And people go talk to me and go, what do you mean by risk? And I'm not meaning, you know, put your child, you know, by a cliff or anything. It's that simple child development risk they need to take, like climbing a tree, like jumping to that next log. Because if you don't learn risks as a child, then you don't learn those skills to take into to adulthood. So I think they're the three main factors that our children are facing. And the statistics that are coming out now are quite really alarming. Like, you know, you've got 25% of our children overweight. We have a lot more mental health problems. The cognitive and academic performances are declining as well. And, you know, you look at the way children play and you look at unstructured play, and that's a really key part of their child development. And I think my dad was really funny. He goes, what is nature play? Well, you know, what it is. And you And you've got to think about what we did as children and what we were learning, and that climbing the tree, we were learning the gross motor skills, we're learning risk. We're also learning about, you know, the change of season by, you know, if a tree didn't have any leaves and then it's got leaves. And then you've got the sensory experiences of nature play. You know how you said you're playing with mud pies. So you're learning about mud and the texture. So you've got the science coming in there. And then you've got the creative play of where, you know, we were hiding and we were making up games with our friends and that down the street. So and then you've also got, and also the creative play, you've got the speech as well. You know, you're making up games. Mm. And that's with technology. You're also finding that children are coming into schools and they've got speech impairments because they're not being spoken to because they've been given the screen as entertainment. So you know, this nature play, you know, gives the speech as well. And then you've also got the construction of nature play. You know, what is construction of nature play? Well, you've got the building, the cubby buildings with the sticks, you've got the sand castles, you've got the mud pies. So, you know, that the nature play is really, really important because you're learning so many skills as a child and you're not learning those skills being inside. And that's where our children are spending too much time at the moment.
Yeah. Oh, gee, I've just had a flashback of the games we played. And this was, in our court in a suburb in Melbourne, because it had an island in the court. You know,
oh, yes,
I don't know
yes.
if courts still have islands in the middle. And we used to dig holes. This is quite embarrassing, actually. We would dig a hole yes. and then we would layer it with newspaper, like yeah. quite a deep hole. Yes. And then we'd sprinkle it with leaves and bark and dirt so you couldn't tell.
Yes.
And then we'd go back inside and get mum or someone and you'd walk them over this hole. It was a trap. It was terrible. And then it wasn't like a massive deep hole. It was like maybe 20 centimetres or something. But all the kids in the court, we would do that. It was the parents all cottoned on, so they all knew then yes. and knew to expect it. But it was just one of those make your own
yes.
idea, fun. Make a game. Yeah. And, of course, it was cowboys and Indians and mothers and fathers and everything yes. all on this island in the court. Because it had some tree, it had some bushes and rocks you could hide behind. So,
yes,
but
those, yeah. you know, and your memories now, and my memories, and what scares me is, you know, what memories of our children. I've got a 9 and a 10 year old. I mean, what memories of my Tom and Jess? What memories are they going to have of their childhood? And, you know, for me, you know, because I live the brand, you know, I hope it's not the PS4 and all of that sort of thing. I hope it's, you know, those amazing, you know, childhood experiences we've had. But it worries me that our children won't have those experiences.
Yeah, for sure. Now, I think it was Steve Jobs that he's actually said he never gave his children iPads. Are you familiar mm-hmm. with that?
Yeah, I have read his book, and yeah, no, I do think there was a paragraph in that he didn't give his children iPads, and really, our children aren't even meant to be looking at the screen from 0 to 2. I mean, that's in the Australian health regulations, but you know, children see the screen so early, so we're never going to get rid of it. And I say, as a parent, we're never going to get rid of the technology because technology is here to stay. But we need to find a balance. And I know it's really hard. It's easy to give the child the iPad to keep them quiet and that sort of stuff. But, you know, we really need to, you know, to have this balance and to teach our children that, you know, you must have some outside experience as well.
Yeah, for sure. So we've had a chat about some of the impacts then. So you've mentioned, obviously, your overweight or obesity, I guess mm-hmm. not being as creative, not having enough outdoor play can impact our speech as well, and also leading to some depression and anxiety in our kids as well. So swing it around a little bit. What are some of the benefits of nature play and playing outside, and why do we really need to prioritise it more?
Oh, look, there's huge benefits, and I think we've forgotten about that, but number one, nature is free. Like, it doesn't cost us any money to go outside, but there's huge benefits. I mean, children who play in nature, they're saying are sick less often because of the you know, and mud is really good because in mud there's a bacteria called which releases a chemical into our brain, serotonin, which makes us happy. And there's in schools and the school playgrounds that are putting back these nature play spaces, you know, that there's anecdotal evidence now that you talk to the teachers, and I went to a Trinity Primary School last week and they've put two big they created two big ovals into nature play spaces, and the teacher said the bullying has reduced in the schoolyard because children. Yeah, there's really strong evidence of that. And every school I speak to, you have, you know, the same response. Because why is bullying reduced? Because if you get rid of that asphalt and that and put into these nature play spaces, the children have more ways to play, like they can build, they can climb. There's just a lot more to do, and they're connected to nature. So that is huge. And also with children with ADHD, they're saying that they're a lot more calmer in these spaces. And they're learning. I think we forget that being outside, we learn. You know, we're talking about the tadpoles. You know, we're learning about the life cycles of, you know, of life. And there's so much to learn out there. So every time we're playing an unstructured way in nature, we're also learning. And there's, you know, from mental health to your gross motor skills. And, you know, as you said, I was an athlete. I played netball for Australia, and I believe those experiences of climbing the trees and throwing and skimming the rocks into the water and crabbing and fishing gave me those gross motor skills to help me as an athlete. And you're also finding children who, I've worked with quite a few autistic children in these spaces as well, and went to a school last week, and, you know, these children are calmer in these spaces. And there was this beautiful story that I was told last week about this little girl who, she was actually Indian, and she was at a special school, and they had a big nature play space, and there was chickens, and she was horrified to go out there because she's never seen a chicken. But 6 months later, she's out there, she's calmer, she's nurturing, she's the chicken, she's holding it. So, you know, there's so much evidence that even for mental health, our children are a lot calmer. And, you know, I do an experiment with my children when they're, you know, really ratty and that. You know, we'll go for a walk on the beach, and guess what? We're also calmer. So there's just so much evidence that, you know, having our children in nature is really, really important. And it's not only good for them, but it's also good for us as well. And I think we need nature, and nature needs us. So, yes.
And totally. I think adults need nature play too.
Yes. Yes.
On that note too, with the other benefits, I think spending more time in nature as children obviously builds our connection to it, and we value it a lot more as adults. And this is something I've thought a lot about too. And even when I first went to uni and started studying environmental engineering, so many of the students then were actually from the country, and they'd had more experience in nature than some of the city people. So I think my degree had maybe 60-70+% of students were from the country. And I think I have seen it written too that children who spend a lot more time in nature as kids have a stronger connection to it, value it more, and they're more likely to try and protect it more when they're adults as well.
No, I totally agree, Laura, and that is, yeah, I mean, that's the underlying factor as well. If we don't get our children outside connected to nature, who is going to look after the environment, and who's going to protect it? So that is such a key message as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned some of the barriers for families to get their kids out in nature, and I know some of them are really tough, like we're working more and, you know, we've got the screen times and we are more worried. I mean, I don't know how I'd feel having my kids not knowing where they are and having them rock in at 6 p.m. at night, you know what I mean? And then we see all these stories of, you know, kids getting taken from their grandparents' front yard and things like that. It's like, I know we just want to keep our kids close. Mm-hmm. So there's some pretty tough barriers to overcome. So have you got any suggestions for how we can, I guess, try and get our kids out in nature a bit more, overcome some of these obstacles?
Yeah, I mean, what we're working on as well, we work with a lot of parents, so we create resources, we run free events, and, you know, for me, it's, and I talk to a lot of parents, it's making time in your schedules. You know, we have to be the teachers as well. So those opportunities that we had of roaming the street and that are never probably going to come back because of social media, and we think our children are going to get abducted and that sort of thing. But, you know, the stats haven't changed for 20 years. Our children aren't getting abducted, but because we've got social media, you know, we get this scare factor. So, you know, I say to parents, you know, it's like brushing your teeth. We have to make a time in our schedules to take our children outside, but also give them that unstructured play. Instead of having them at basketball you know, Japanese and all of this structured play, give them those 2 hours outside, you know, and don't hover around them. But you also have got to give them the resources as well, you know, put a mud kitchen, put loose parts in your backyard. And, you know, then people say to me, well, we don't have a backyard. Well, look where we live in Australia. We have some most beautiful environment around us. So you take your child to a national park and, you know, there's a lot of resources. And now that, you know, some people are nervous about going into a national park and that there's a lot of resources now that will help people to apps and that to navigate your way around. So and we're also trying to change the school playground, and I guess you have to think, where do our children spend the most time these days? It is at school. So if we can put the school playground much more into a nature play space playground and allow your children to play with sticks and climb the trees and have the water and the mud there to make the mud pie. So we're really working with schools from the preschools to the primary schools to create that nature play space for our children. And I'm also now trying to also work with councils to get rid of the fantastic plastic playground and put back those nature play spaces. And also with parents, you know, let your children have a go before you say no, you know, don't do that. And I have to sometimes hold my tongue to Tom, who, you know, said to me, Mum, I want to row the boat out and catch the crabs, you know, last summer. And it was a 15-kilometre it was quite a swell. But I thought, no, I've got to let him go, because really he'd only just the boat could go a little bit, but I could get into the big boat and, you know, go and get him. So I said to Tom, I said, yes, go, have a go. Well, Laura, he, after an hour and a half, a 10-year-old boy sat in the dinghy, came back with 9 crabs. Oh, wow. He was the most excited boy I have seen, and that was really showed me that I gave him that opportunity and he could do that. I didn't put Tom in a hazard situation or a real risky situation. I let him have the opportunity. And I think as parents, we have to let our children go. You know, they can climb that tree, they can play with sticks, and really look at the benefit first for the child before you say no, and really weigh it up. So, and we're trying to really educate parents like that. And there's some incredible resources and some incredible parks out there as well that we can take our children. Even just a walk on the beach or a walk in the park as a family can, you know, you can learn so much and create those opportunities that we had as children.
Yeah, oh, that's great. I love the crab idea there. My son doesn't collect crabs, he collects rocks.
Yes.
He actually goes to bed with a bucket of rocks, so yes, right in his bed. So that's quite funny. But apparently I collected rocks when I was a little girl too, so yeah.
Yeah, but you've given him those opportunities to collect the rocks, and you know, and some parents say, oh, that's messy and you can't have rocks. But you know what? It's like kids getting muddy. A washing machine will fix and a bit of water will get rid of the mud, and the kids will have had the best experience.
Yeah. I'm not too fussed about the rocks. It's not like it's a bucket full of cocoons that are all about to hatch into moths or something. So, yeah. All right, so there are some great ideas for how our listeners today can get their kids outside a little bit more, so I really appreciate that. Now, would you like to share with listeners today what your organisation does and how you're working to get kids more outside and where our listeners can find you and the activities that you're running, Sarah?
Yeah, thanks, Laura. So I work for Nature Play South Australia, so we're an organisation about getting children outside again and connected to nature. So we make a lot of resources, from 51 things to do before you're 12, 25 things to do in spring. We also have an outdoor nature play passport. We run free events, but that's in South Australia. But you can go to our website and download all of our resources of how to build a cubby or how to make a nature play space in the backyard. So we are all about that. But also in all the other states, there's a Nature Play Queensland, a Nature Play ACT, and a Nature Play WA. So we're slowly getting there. But I think if you Google, even if your state, there's lots of little Nature Play organisations about, you know, same sort of vision, getting our children back outside. So we are funded for another couple of years, and then we have to be self-funded. But the rate we're going, we're hoping that everything we're doing, that we're taking it into to make the organisation to be sustainable. So, yes.
For sure. But I guess, yeah, you're really creating a very important movement there. So I'll pop the link below in the show notes and on the blog so people can click straight through. But if they are listening, it's just natureplaysa.com. www.ecosystemsmatters.org.au and, yeah, jump on there, download some resources and subscribe to keep in the loop for fantastic ideas for how to get your kids and yourself out in nature.
Thank you, Laura.
Really enjoyed talking with you today, Sarah, and listening to all your tips and the importance of getting our kids back outside in nature. So thanks so much for coming on Eco Chat.
Thanks, Laura. I really enjoyed it. It was great talking with you, and thank you for helping create the movement of getting our children back outside.
So there you have it. Sarah Sutter from Nature Play SA sharing a really important message to help get our kids outside in nature for their own emotional, spiritual, and physical health. If you haven't yet checked out Nature Play SA, head on over to natureplaysa.org.au and show them some support. They're a not-for-profit organisation working hard to make unstructured outdoor play in nature an everyday part of childhood, and they have plenty of amazing ideas and resources and even in-person activities if you live near or near Adelaide to help you in this area. I've also got a little cheat sheet freebie for you this episode that you can pick up at natureplay.lauratrotter.com. It's a one-page cheat sheet with 25-plus easy nature play ideas for kids. Alrighty, I hope you've got a lot out of this episode. It really is an important topic. So go on out there, get yourself and your kids out in nature so you can both become more calmer, happier, and more connected with your environment. And this will all help you and help us all to do a little bit extra to help make green mainstream. Thanks for listening to the EcoChat podcast. I'm Laura Trotter. If you enjoyed this episode, I'd love you to subscribe, share with your friends, and leave a review in iTunes. And if you're keen to continue the conversation, head on over to my website, lauratrotter.com, where you can also pick up your free copy of my e-guide, 11 Steps to Ecofire Your Home and Your Life. Catch you there.